conflict and cooperation in devotional service. I have experienced that there is conflict between devotees serving under different leaders. Many devotees consider their own service or approach to bhakti as the most authentic, and associating with different genres of devotees sometimes creates confusion in my mind. Why does this conflict emerge although all devotees are engaged in the service of Krishna? How can we overcome conflict and instead cooperate to fight against our common enemies, impersonalism and materialism? This is a question sent me by Saurav Sarma. Why does conflict emerge although all devotees are engaged in the service of Krishna? Srila Prabhupada addressed this in many of his letters. In one letter, he stated that even in the spiritual world there is conflict, but the center is Krishna. That different groups of gopis, they compete to serve Krishna. So at the very highest level, conflict is completely spiritual. But unfortunately, conflicts between devotees are not always fully, the background is not fully that of desire to serve Krishna. We come to devotional service with many material desires and much material conditioning, and we can't expect everyone to immediately overcome that material conditioning. In fact, it would be realistic to expect that our material conditioning will continue to affect us for quite some time after we take to devotional service. Yeah, in the letter that I'm referring to, Srila Prabhupada said that it is utopian to think that everyone in devotional service will, or there'll be no conflicts. The devotee had wrote to him, as does the person who's asked me this question, he said that, well, the devotee's fighting or disagreeing, that is impersonalism. That's a symptom of impersonalism. But Srila Prabhupada replied and said, no, it's just the opposite. Because where there are persons, there are always different outlooks. So disagreement or different perspectives among different persons, that is normal. And it's the impersonalists who want to make everything all one without any variety. So some level of disagreement is part of normal human intercourse. Even among highly advanced devotees. However, the art is to take that diversity and channel it all constructively in the service of Krishna. One of the many reasons why Srila Prabhupada was successful in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world was that he was expert in channeling people's energies into the service of Krishna, and finding many of his young disciples in a very dynamic but also competitive mood, he encouraged competition between them. He encouraged competition in the service of Krishna. But he also didn't want the competition to get out of hand so that devotees were actually trying to sabotage each other or such underhand tactics. Now, in our movement today, we have that competition is not, that competitive spirit is not there so much. But it's not really that there's a highly cooperative spirit. There's more like a spirit of various groups living and let live, so to speak. So, in some ways, our movement, it's like a confederation of different groups that are working side by side and trying not to tread on each other's toes too much. In one sense, that's natural. We see that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they preached in mostly in different areas. The natural system within human society, and especially the natural system of religious leadership, a real spiritual leadership is not one that can be instituted. You can appoint someone as a religious leader, but you cannot. Actual spiritual qualities don't come from the position, but you can't legislate that now you become a pure devotee. So where there are strong personalities, they will be leaders. That is natural. Ideally, in religious organizations, the strength should be pure spiritual strength, pure desire to serve Krishna. Although sometimes the strength is not pure spiritual strength, but it may be mixed up with some residual material desires. The real problem comes when the material desires are stronger than the spiritual desire. The institutionalization of spiritual life means that there must be some, at least, admixture of worldly considerations. So a religious institution could be said to be a necessary evil. It's required for an institution is required for organizing the spiritual practices and preaching, but as soon as there's an organization, there's consideration of money and power and prestige, which work against the very ideals of the spiritual organization. Anyway, these topics could be discussed at great length, and within the short history of ISKCON, these topics have been discussed at great length, ad nauseum practically. But these kind of syndromes will continue. So the best advice is don't expect utopia. Find good association wherever you can. Search for the essence. Don't get caught up in all the externals. Don't be overly disturbed by persons who are caught up in the externals. Be grateful that there are leaders who are dealing with all the things that most of us are not dealing with, like legal matters, organizational problems, and so on. Someone has to deal with all of that, and it's a big headache, actually. But if it's not done, then the movement can't function as a movement. And seek good association. That's it, in essence. How can we overcome conflict? The question is. Well, I don't think that ever, there's not going to be a time when there's not going to be any conflict. Conflict isn't necessarily bad.
Isn't.
No. That just like, for instance, when Srila Prabhupada, shortly before Srila Prabhupada passed away, he requested his disciples to take him on a bullock cart for Govardhan Parikrama. And one group of his disciples said, okay, that's what Prabhupada wants, we have to do what he wants. Even though it seemed that Srila Prabhupada would certainly not remain with us, he would pass away, if he was taken in that condition that he was in, if he was taken on Govardhan Parikrama, he wouldn't remain in this world with us. But some devotees said, well, if that's what Prabhupada wants, anyway, we should take him. So those devotees may have thought that, Prabhupada, he's transcendental. If he wants, he can go on such a parikrama in this condition, and he won't be affected. Or they may have thought that, well, if Srila Prabhupada wants to pass away during Govardhan Parikrama, then we should facilitate that. But anyway, it's our duty as disciples to follow his order. And another group of disciples present were completely opposed to the idea. He said, we can't let Prabhupada just... Prabhupada will pass away. We don't want that. We can't allow that to happen. So Srila Prabhupada gave this order, and then by doing so, he created a tremendous conflict between two groups of his disciples. Both of which they thought the other party was completely off. One group was thinking, how can they refuse to obey Prabhupada's order? And the other group thought, well, how can they take Prabhupada on such a bumpy ride in this condition? So the bullock cart was arranged and brought right up to Krishna Balaram temple. And eventually the group who were opposed to this, they pleaded with Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please don't go. And then Prabhupada agreed, all right, I won't go. So there was a deep conflict, but both groups of devotees, they were thinking how best to serve Srila Prabhupada. So it is utopian to think there will be no conflict. Either purely motivated, or it's utopian to think there won't be conflict. There may be conflict even if people are fully spiritually motivated. And it's also utopian to think that everyone in the Krishna conscious movement, just by joining this movement, they immediately become a perfect saint, and that therefore they'll just live in complete harmony with each other. So we should minimize conflict, of course. We don't want to be known as the international society for beating each other up. Harmony is preferable to disharmony. But the harmony that comes by tolerating nonsense, that's also nonsense. To quote the great modern philosopher of sorts, John Lennon, living is easy with eyes closed. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? It's nonsense. Bad things happen because people who think they're good don't take the trouble to prevent them. So if we see wrong things happening and we just say, oh, well, everything's okay, doesn't matter, just let everyone do what they like. Tolerance. So we don't want to disturb the harmony, therefore we don't let, in the name of harmony, we don't try to stop bad things happening. Or this idea, don't criticize anyone. Well, inherent in that statement is criticism of those who do criticize others. Now, don't criticize anyone, you know, everything's okay, you know, divorce is okay, contraception's okay, abortion's okay, whether or not you chant 16 rounds even after you're initiated, it's all okay, everything's all right, everything's nice, but it's not. So we should live for the pleasure of Krishna. To serve Krishna, we are likely, to actually serve Krishna, we are more likely to be in conflict than in harmony. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palanto Yam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadahang Bhakti Paharitam Ashnami Prayatatmana. Offer me with, those who offer me with bhakti, with devotion, a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. So there are innumerable devotees who have pleased Krishna by offering Krishna fruit, flower, leaf, and water. But the most famous devotees, those who have pleased him the most, are Hanuman, Arjuna, Prahlad, and others who fought for Krishna, who refused to go along with the status quo. Hanuman could have said, well, you know, we tried our best. Okay, let's give up. Let's not bother looking anymore for Sita. He might have said, okay, but he would have never have been embraced by Lord Rama. Prahlad, he refused to cooperate with his demoniac father. So, in this world there has to be conflict. However much you want to be harmonious, the very nature of this world is that there must be conflict, especially in Kali Yuga. But we should be in the kind of conflict that will endear us to Krishna. Those who sit at home and chant, they may not get into much conflict. Those who go out and tell people that without surrendering your life to Krishna, you're simply wasting your life and living like an animal with two legs. And certainly they will run into conflict. But still we have to go out. Choose your conflicts. The kind of conflict that endears us to Krishna, that is far preferable to simply sitting and doing nothing of any import for the sake of serving Krishna. All right, so that's all I'm going to speak on about that for now.